Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Lorenzoni, and I'm going to be running this, no pun intended, a run cast on a weekly basis. Very much looking forward to it. I've had the great pleasure, truly, of being a steward in our community of the sport, as a coach and as a mentor, hopefully, and as a fellow runner. Over the past 30 years, I've had an enriched experience working with all different levels of folks, from kids to seniors, from folks trying to run their first two-mile race to those trying to place in their age group in the Boston Marathon, and hoping to share with you each week some of the tips and nuggets and potholes, things that I've experienced not only as a coach, but more importantly as a runner myself, share it with you, and hopefully to make your experience as a runner that much more rewarding. Jumping right into it, I thought we'd just start with kind of general state of the affairs. It's obvious to everyone how cold it is outside, but it's not as obvious to folks that they should be hydrating. This is a critical time of year that you need to get your hydration up. You should be drinking about 60 ounces a day, and that does not mean soda, beer, or wine. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be drinking beer, wine, or soda, but make sure you're chasing it with about 60 ounces of good hydrating fluids. The students are back. We've noticed it. We love it. Having our neighbors back in town, our UVA kids, so I call them, because at 55 years old, they seem like my kids. And let's have a heads up. A lot of them aren't very visible when they're out there running. A lot of them are running with their iPods on and not paying attention as much. Any students listening to this, take heed to it. But if you aren't a student, let's just do a good heads up there, being good neighbors with them and watching out with them on the road. And speaking of, it's always good to be visible yourself. Very important. I never, ever go out in the wintertime, ever, without my reflective gear and my little running flashlight, which not only has a double purpose. It serves as a way for me to see where I'm going, because I run at 6 in the morning, and also for a motorist to see me ahead of time. I'm that much more relaxed when I feel like people can see me. It's just a big part of it. All right, well, in the books, what happened over the weekend? We're starting to cook up right now. Things are really starting to hop. The University of Virginia track team had a tremendous outing down at Virginia Tech this weekend. Jason Vigilante's gang came out of the blocks hard right off the bat, because this is early season. Stephanie Garcia, fifth-year senior, 2:09 in the 800, very impressive time. Emil Heinken, who is one of the workhorses of Jason's distance guys, runs 4:05 for the mile, number 10 all-time indoor time for UVA. The women's DMR, that's the distance medley relay, they came out of the blocks very hard, 2 seconds shy of the school record, which is back from the early 80s in the real big glory days of Virginia's track program, cross-country program. And that's the number one time in the country, 11:21 right now. They're ranked number one in the United States. On the guys' side, their DMR, same thing, number two in the country. They came out of came into that track ready to make some noise and did a good job. And then I'm going to apologize to this young man for hacking his name, but Adams Abdul-Razak, it's for the second straight week, was voted the ACC Performer of the Week in track and field. Pretty impressive. Good nod for Virginia, as he broke his own school record in the 60-meter hurdle, 7.75. So all of this happened down at Tech. And also down at Tech, kind of a neat little sidelight, the Ragamountain Racing Team, which is our official post-collegiate Olympic trials development team. We've been really excited about this the last 2 years. We have about 18 really tremendous young folk, post-college age, trying to work their way to the big time as they lose a lot of that support you get when you're on a high school or college team. They've got coaching, they get the uniform, shoes. It's really a nice scenario. And four of them went down and ran the 4x8 and finished third overall. Very impressive. That was Chris Post, Donnie Cowart, who was the fastest time. He ran 1:50. Macklin Chafee and Mike Smade all did tremendous. To be noted is Chris Post. It was his first. They only had three guys, and he got a call last minute and said, Chris, come join us. Chris is in the distance group. These guys are considered middle distance. They said, Chris, come in. Chris Post, anybody knows him, former Western standout, wonderful guy, jumped in and ran a 2:02, his fastest time ever, and his first track race since high school. He's a 22 years old. So it's pretty impressive. And then Charlie Hurd, who's also on the RMR team, he was second overall at the Frostbite 15K down in Richmond, very prestigious race. Former William & Mary standout, Western Almar graduate and assistant coach at Western, also ran 49.18 for this unusual distance of 15K, which is about 9.3 miles. On the high school side, Maddie Webb, Western Almar superstar, ran 5.13 in the 1600 down at the Arthur Ashe Center. Maddie will be, I'm not sure what the official term is for it. Mike Biseglia is sitting right here with me. Maybe give me a, she's going to announce, she already has announced her intent to go to NC State, but they have an official ceremony.
Right.
What is
the
that
letter
called?
Of the letter of commitment.
Letter of commitment, yes.
Yeah. So it's sort of, it's there, but it's not.
It's the one where
they put on their different hats.
She'll be wearing a wolf pack.
Right.
I told you the other day she's going to have to learn how to do that. Whatever that wolf pack thing, that crazy calling out.
That'll be super important.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody gets excited when you look under the desk and which hat comes out on, and you put it on top of your head. As a big hat person, I respect that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So she's doing that on next week at the Western Gym on February 2nd. And then the big story in the high school world was Ryan Thomas. He's a football player at Albemarle, freshman. He ran 4:34 in his first indoor mile. It's 4:34. He's the number two ranked right now anyway. Early season, but nevertheless, we'll take it. Freshman in the nation.
Wow.
For the mile, a high school kid indoors. Pretty cool. So a lot going on right off the bat here over the weekend. And I'd like to, on a weekly basis, tap a couple of folks, two or three, as our runners of the week. So Stephanie Garcia on the UVA side, we're going to give her the nod, 209. That was impressive. And then Ryan Thomas Hart, I mean, number two in the country, freshman. He's a football player. And that's no slight to football player. It's like Zach Verhovec when he played football at Almar. It's always so impressive to see how fast they could run distance.
Is he a wide receiver then in football,
yeah.
I'm guessing?
I'm pretty sure
just
he is.
Just double checking.
Yeah. Good kid. Really a nice kid. I've watched him grow up, actually. And then on the local side, I want to give it to kind of rounding and rounding it out in kind of a balanced fashion is Ginny Booth. She works in palliative care over at the University Hospital. Wonderful woman. She ran a two-mile time trial. We do this every year, Mike. We have our 10-miler training folks run a two-mile time trial, and they say, "Why am I doing 2 miles? I'm running the 10-miler. Why would you have me doing something so short?"
Right.
It's to tell you what your potential is for 10 miles, so you have a gauge, and also tell you what your workout should be from that point forward. It's a very good guide.
Yeah, I'm sort of interested in that. If someone were to go out and they do 2 miles, and let's say they do it in 18:07 or whatever the number
might interesting be. You picked that, because she ran 18:05.
Okay, that's a little creepy on my end, but what can you then determine from that?
I have and folks can pick it up at the shop. We have it on our website, I believe, and you can get it through the Schlossel Chat Club. We have a something I compiled. It shows you, if you run 2 miles, what your potential is in the coming months.
Wow.
For 5K, 10K, half marathon, 10 miles. So she ran 18:05, her PR was 18:36, which she ran last spring before she started her half marathon training over the summer with the track club. She took 31 seconds off, pretty impressive. But that tells her that she probably is going to be able to run, see, that's 9:02 pace for 2 miles. So probably she's going to be somewhere around 9:40 pace, somewhere in there maybe, for 10 miles. And it's eerily accurate.
That's awesome.
And this is one of my beefs. I'm kind of getting on a sidetrack here. But a lot of runners are racing around this country that have no clue as to what their potential is. And it's not a condemnation as much as it is call out to say, just run a 2 mile time trial sometime and you'll get a good gauge.
Right.
Okay. Hmm. So let's see. Okay. So she's our runner of the week, one of our runners of the week. And then in the getting it right department, Leah Connor, who was former president of the track club. She helps me a lot with the training program. She's our website geek. She's tremendous with getting the word out technically, which I'm terrible with. Anybody that knows me knows I'm really bad with that. But I've coached her for years, and I've had this big issue hit my head against the wall over and again. Leah, don't go out too quickly. Every race she does, she runs too quickly, even the marathon. So I've been working with her, and she was ecstatic the other day. She said, "Mark, it's the first time ever I've done this." She ran her first mile 7:47 and her second 7:03 for 14:50. Pretty impressive. And she thought that was like a huge, huge victory for her. It wasn't the time. It's that she felt in control. She was passing people at the end. She did it. Negative splits.
No, I think that's great to hear, because I can't tell you how many times I've been in races, and it's more my fiance. She runs the same pace all the time, and it's funny to watch all these guys sprint out before her. Then we'll get to mile 3, 4, and she's just still cruising along past them. I can't tell you how many people I see do that.
I mean, this is true of any sport, Mike, and getting kind of on a little tip vein here, but
right.
Any sport tells you got to pace yourself. You know, if football players come out pumped up adrenaline, the coach sure. Can say, you got to somewhat control that. Be careful, because you don't peak too soon. Well, no sport is it more glaringly evident and punishes you more quickly than running, particularly if you're a distance runner. And people say, well, I'm a 5K runner and my friends run marathons, so I'm not a distance runner. That's 3 stinking miles.
Sure.
And if you go too hard for the first quarter, half mile, your pace is going to go off the charts. And the way I sting my athletes when I'm coaching them, because I like to annoy them, because when they're annoyed, they want to prove me wrong. And that right. it's one of these little psychological things. Okay, if I can piss them off, and so I'll show Mark I've accomplished something. It's not I'm not shooting for a popularity contest. I'm shooting to get them to listen and to abide by these basic exercise physiologist right. rules. So I'll say, oh, okay, so you ran the first lap of your 2 mile time trial at 90 seconds. You must think you're a 12-minute, you're a 6-minute pace person.
Right.
And they go, no, where'd you get that from? And I said, where did I get it from? My watch. You came by in 90 seconds for your first lap. I did? Yes, you went out like a maniac. And that's why you ended up running 16 minutes for your time trial, because you went out at 12-minute pace, at 6-minute pace, and ended up running 8-minute pace because you dragged your backside over the last 2 laps, practically walking.
Is there any tips you would give people out there that get that adrenaline rush early? And it's easy to happen. You get excited.
It's
there's
practice.
People around you.
Practice. Being under control. Lining up properly. Do not line up in a zip code you have no business playing with. You know, I'm not running around with Brad Pitt on the weekend. I know where my zip code is. So I'm sitting back. And I know exactly at a race, and this takes practice. I'm getting a little preachy here, but the rewards are great. And Leah Connor, perfect. I mean, she was so ecstatic. It was like she had won a marathon.
That's great.
And in reality, somebody might say, well, what's the big deal, Leah? And then you say, okay, pretty impressive time, but more impressive, 747, 703. So she was layering it down each lap, getting faster and in great control. A couple of call-outs also about getting it right. I'm big on communication. In fact, it's going to be one of my rants today. Communication that folks don't tell their coaches or don't communicate with themselves when they're starting to have an issue. So they plow through an issue, end up getting hurt. So with this cold weather, especially last weekend when it was like 4 degrees, 10 degrees out in the outlying areas, people had little hamstring strains, Achilles strains, calf strains. They've got a workout to do this week. I've been getting a lot of calls from my athletes saying, coach, I've got this issue. What do you think I should do? And I'm like, you get an A-plus for calling. And you're going to get a bigger A-plus if you listen to what I'm telling you, which is take the day off or ease up and let's do some therapy, which is, of course, heat, ice, Advil, light stretching. And then another one is a friend of mine who's one of my closest friends, my training partner. He's been having a rough time with sleep recently. Sleep led to fatigue. Fatigue has led to him getting hurt. Great communication with me the other day. Mark, I'm starting to feel a slight problem in my hip. Confides in me, hasn't been getting his sleep. Tell him, take some time off, back off. And, because he's training for a marathon, and when you're training for a marathon, you get on a roll, and it's hard to stop the engine sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating with someone really, really helps out a lot. All right, live and learn department. Another person I coach went to Hawaii for the past 2 weeks. What was she wearing? Her bikini. Walking around in shorts. We're not in our bikinis, and we're not in our shorts right now, are we?
No.
So, sandals, bare feet. She ends up with plantar fasciitis, which is that injury that, if you guys don't know what it is, they're listening. It's a heel pain. It very common. And a lot of times it comes from a change in routine going from hard surface to soft or soft surface to hard. In her case, she went down in support. So cool thing is she knew it right away, comes back to Charlottesville from Hawaii, gets back to reality and starts wearing her shoes again. Quick 10-miler tips. Never, ever let, and this is true of any distance-oriented race, never let the sum of your short runs be less than your long run. So the sum of your total of your shorter runs should be equal to or greater than your long run. Example, if your long run is 10 miles, you got to figure out some way during the other 6 days, 2 or 3 days of running, to do 10 miles. 2 3-mile runs and a 4-mile run, bingo, you've got it. You can't do 2 2-mile runs and then make your long run on the weekend 10. You get away with that for a couple weeks before you end up with an injury. My rant of the week is this Jay Cutler situation. Well, wait a second. I said, this is, we're talking about running. It's called Runcast. What's the deal? The message sent by the media and the critics, the fellow players that jumped this guy's case for potentially feigning his injury, that he wasn't manning up. Unbelievable bad message that it sends to all athletes, anyone, particularly folks like my runners who, well, I've got this pain, but I got it. I'm training for the Boston Marathon. I got to keep driving through it. The no pain, no gain. Well, no pain, no gain was old Steve Prefontaine saying had to do with how much you're hurting cardio-wise when you're pushing at a workout. It didn't pertain to injuries. So this guy's got a knee issue. His athletic trainer says, you better sit this out. This could be a big one if you go back out there. You're weak. And if you're weak, that means you're vulnerable. Sits out, he gets criticized for it. And I was amazed on Monday how heavy it came down on this poor guy. And I'm thinking, what's happened? This last generation, we learned so much about communication, knowing when to back off, not being so macho that you end up with playing on an injury that could end up ending your career. And this guy gets criticized. So any high schoolers, college-age kids listening to this, communicate with your coach. Communicate with whoever. And if you've got an issue, and don't be afraid of getting busted on by your peers, like doggone, one of your fellow media folks were horrible with it, not here at this station or not at anywhere in town, but one of the national guys, I think they're called the mothership, sometimes by people, they were very critical of him. Yep. So it's a shame. It really is. Volunteer of the week, very quickly, I want to call out Kathy Bronchut. She helps every single week with the 10 Miles Training Program, has does for years. She's works down at the post office downtown. Great gal, big help, very good with novice runners in making them feel comfortable starting out their 10-mile journey.
And I sort of want to ask you about this because I know a lot of people, and I was one of them, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, who says to themselves, I can run 2 miles, I can run 3 miles, but I could never imagine myself going the distance of 10 miles.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody when you say, you know, we have a training program? Obviously, you don't want to just in 1 week say, I can do 10 miles, but that through training and in the proper training, that it is something that is possible even for someone that goes out and runs once a week and does 2 or 3 miles.
Well, the two things we say to them when they come into the 10-miler training program, which we've done for almost 25 years now, and this is the Charlottesville Track Club's program, is to say to them, we've done it in the past and it's worked. So trust us, number one. And number two, never look more than 1 week down the road. Because yeah. I hand you, Mike, the program number one, which is the 0 to 10 program, right. Starting people at scratch, going up to 10. The other programs we have are a little more advanced. They're taking people from 2 miles, maybe up to 11. Another one, the program takes them from 3 miles, which is what they're currently running, up to maybe 12. Right. So they're getting a little over distance running. So that 0 to 10 person, I say to them, don't you dare look at that page farther down than 1 or 2 weeks, because it'll be sneaky. Each week you'll hit a half mile more than you did the previous thing. You say, oh my gosh, all of a sudden you're up to 4 miles. These guys are up to 6 miles right now.
That's
Mike,
great.
In the 10, which by the way, is anybody that is at 6 miles and you're still feeling unsure about getting involved with the 10 miler, come out on Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock outside the UVA track. Very quickly here, the Charlottesville Track Club, speaking of them and speaking of volunteerism, donated the largest amount of money ever donated from a foot race in the state of Virginia, $335,000, stayed here, every penny locally.
Wow.
The wonderful, wonderful programs, research at the Breast Care Center at the University of Virginia. Talk about dollars circulating within our community. And these cancer docs, Dr. Brennan, Dr. Harvey, who were there at the check presentation, were ecstatic about this money coming back and helping them with their programs. And they actually listed the number of things where these dollars are going to directly affect the lives of people with cancer.
It's tremendous.
It is tremendous. So Cynthia, my wife, and my daughter Audrey, very active with that. Jim Bell, Carol Finch, Joan Esposito, who does the training program. A big call out to all those folks that are involved with that woman's 4-miler. Very quickly, upcoming events this Friday night, ESPN2 at 8 o'clock, the Melrose Games. And we'll have some of the UVA gang there, including two boys from the Fab Four, the legendary foursome that ran at Albemarle, that set the world record in the 4x8. Zach Verhoevec and Anthony Kostelec back together again.
Very cool.
Kind of like a Beatles reunion, except only two of the Beatles. And then they'll be with TJ Hobart and Brett Johnson, two of their teammates. That looks to go off at about 8:15. You're not doing anything Friday evening. Want to check it out. You get to see them race at Madison Square Garden, the Melrose Games. We have another 2-mile time trial this Saturday, 8 o'clock, for anybody that, even if you're not in the 10-mile training program, you want to come out, I'm there, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to give you tips on how to approach the time trial, how to break it down lap by lap. Valentine's Partners 5K, Amnesty International, the track club hosts this. It's out at Old Trail on the 12th of February. And then we have Wednesday morning speed workouts have started up. Anybody want to come out and get a little faster? That's 5:30 in the morning outside the UVA track. And then high school invitationals this weekend. There's one at Virginia Tech. Last weekend was UVA, the college kids. This weekend it's the high school kids, Big B. And then there's another invitational at St. Chris's that a lot of our local kids will be hitting. Happy 50th to Lisa Drain. She's a great local runner. Broke 5 hours a few years ago, first time in her life in the marathon. This year broke 4:50. Huge accomplishment. Happy birthday to her. Very quickly, a running term of the week to educate you guys that may or may not know it. Fartlek, one of those weird, odd ones.
I think I may know it.
Okay, let's see. First off, spell it. Go ahead and spell it, Mike.
I can't even spell my own name, so that's going to be trouble. But is it like a little speed boost in the middle?
Actually, you almost nailed it. It's a speed play. It's a Scandinavian term. Right. Fartlek, F-A-R-T-L-E-K.
Okay.
Fartlek. And it very much has to do with surging for periods of time and then slowing down, recovering for periods of time, which is actually lacrosse. Soccer,
yeah.
Basketball, almost all sports would benefit
exactly.
From tennis, from, I guess, maybe golf, not as much, but sports that you see quick bursts and then jog.
Right.
And that's, you ever watch a soccer player out there? That's all they're doing, quick bursts and jogging, quick bursts and jogging. Fartlek's a wonderful workout. You can do it with short little repeats, 10 seconds hard, 20 seconds easy, 30 seconds hard, 30 seconds easy, 2 minutes hard, which obviously 2 minutes hard, you're running slower than your 30 seconds hard. But you can vary it up. And, the very good little piece to have, even in a distance runner's a training regimen.
Very cool. I find that when I do something like that, that's the biggest sweat I get.
Yeah, and if you do it properly and you don't overdo it in the hard, you can go 10, 15 times whatever, and
right.
it's a good workout. So you can do it on flat, you can do it on hills. And then I thought we'd do Mike, it might be fun each week to have a trivia question, historical. I get a little frustrated because I'm getting to be quite an old man. Sometimes I've been called the unofficial historian of running in the community, and I get frustrated. Sometimes it's with locals, sometimes with UVA runners. They don't know their history, the local history of a new UVA runner come on the team, and I'll say, you got it in your next 4 years, try and break so-and-so's record. And they
right.
say, who's so-and-so and what's the record? I'm like, what? Now, Jason Vigilante is very good about that now. He has them pretty educated as to something to shoot for. So anyway, this one is a little close to home, but it says, who were the only two people to have won the Charlottesville 10-miler, which is the area's oldest and most prestigious foot race, on both the old course, which was the one that used to run out to Camp Holiday Trails and back again from 1976 to 1983, and on the new course? Only two people have ever won both the new and the old course. And the new course, of course, is what we call the city course. It's the one that starts at U-Haul and then runs downtown and back. And speaking of the 10-miler, entries will be out in the next 2 weeks. It's March 26th. Really excited about that. If you know the answer to that, I'm going to give you till next Tuesday, trying to come up with some loose rules on this, February 1st. And you can email it to Alec, because I don't do email. Legendary on that. Frustrates the heck out of people. Smithsonian guy here. Alec at RagamountainRunning.com. If you think you know the answer, who has won it on both courses?
All right.
And then in closing, and not so quickly here, because I'd like to take a moment, is a call out. Our hearts actually go out to Lee Bazell and her two kids on the loss of her husband and their father, Jim Bazell, who's a wonderful, wonderful community person, excellent physical therapist, working over at Health South and with Dr. Wilder's gang over there. Bike enthusiast, healthy guy. Very outgoing, very loving guy. We're going to really miss him. There's a celebration of his life at Hamilton's because he was very close with the Hamilton family on Sunday, February 7th. They're closed on Sunday, so I think 2 to 4 folks can come by. And any donations in lieu of flowers can be made to the Cancer Center because it was melanoma that really struck him down. So again, our best wishes to Lee and her family. All right, so until next week, I thought I'd close with something a little catchy here. Keep on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.